Welcome, everybody, and happy Wednesday afternoon. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Well, a bunch of breaking news. Let's start locally. Yesterday, I shared the news that had just been broken by the Journal Sentinel here in Milwaukee that the president of the Milwaukee Police Association was considering writing a letter to the Trump administration to invite the National Guard here to Milwaukee. I gave some comments on that. What I hadn't yet seen, which is quite important, was that Republican Congressional Representative Scott Fitzgerald yesterday actually poo-pooed that idea, specifically and directly. So yesterday you had a Republican explicitly saying that is not a good idea and Milwaukee police can handle that issue here. Specifically, here's what Representative Fitzgerald said. Right now, Milwaukee's a different situation as compared to other cities where Trump has either done this or proposed to do this. He continued, we've got actually some good numbers out of Milwaukee over the last couple of years about crime that's leveled off or been reduced. I'm not sure it's something that the White House would really consider when you look at the long list of other communities that have issues as a result of crime and homelessness, etc. Well, today, Republican gubernatorial candidates here in the state of Wisconsin, Bill Berrien and Josh Shulman, signal support for troops in Milwaukee. Is anybody really surprised about that? Yes. Well, so there's that news. Other local news. Wisconsin grassroots advocates are calling on state lawmakers today to adopt an actual minimum wage. Who knew? And to tie it to inflation. I would like to call this the dignity wage, a sustainable wage, you know, an actual minimum wage. It has been at $7.25 an hour here in the state of Wisconsin, which is unconscionable. It has been so since 2009. And let's just put this in context. If you earn $7.25 an hour and say even work 60 hours a week, which I thought our social contract indicated that if you were willing to work hard and pull yourself up by the bootstraps, that you would actually be able to live in dignity. Well, 7 1/4, 60 hours a week, 50 weeks a year, even 52 weeks a year, you're not living in anywhere close to dignity. Watch this space. I'd like to hear how Republicans oppose that. Because when you talk to small business owners, here's what they say. If you raise the minimum wage for every business, then the businesses are actually competing on a level playing field, which kind of sounds like capitalism to me. I'm not sure Republicans are going to go for it. Finally, in other local breaking news this afternoon, Judge Hannah Dugan facing criminal charges under the Trump administration for controlling her courtroom, as any judge is entitled to do earlier this year, is not seeking appeal of the district court decision that denied her motion to dismiss. They have scheduled trial for December. Boy, that one's going to be a doozy. Also on the national level this morning, absolutely devastating testimony, I'll call it, from some of Jeffrey Epstein's victims, reminding us what that scandal that continues to plague the Trump administration is truly all about. The Donald Trump administration also announcing that JAG lawyers, those are military lawyers, may begin to serve potentially as immigration judges. I'll spend more time on this next week with Jim Santel, but let me just leave it here for all of you before I bring on my first guest this afternoon. A lawyer ain't a judge, and a military lawyer ain't an immigration lawyer, which ain't an immigration judge. You see where I'm going here? This is not a good solution for the backlog of immigration court cases. In fact, I think it will make an already strained situation worse, but more on that next week. With that, I'll bring on my first guest, Dan Schaefer, the political editor here at Civic Media and creator of the Recombobulation Area, to talk a bit about Rebecca Bradley's big, long goodbye. Welcome back, Dan. No goodbye for you, just a welcome. This was some pretty big news. It had been signaled for a while. But what was your reaction to the announcement last week that she won't be seeking yet another term on the court?
Yeah, it was an interesting announcement from Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Rebecca Bradley. You know, anytime there's something coming up before a holiday weekend, those of us who are in the media, particularly political media, have to have our ears perked up a little bit for any kind of announcement that people might not want to be talking about for a few days. And so we're going to circle back today to that announcement from last Friday from Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Rebecca Bradley, that she will not be seeking another 10-year term on the court and will be essentially leaving the Wisconsin Supreme Court next year when her term is done. So, you know, as we kicked off last year, a run of, I believe, 7 years in a row or something like that, that we will have a 5 years in a row, I think, of a Wisconsin Supreme Court race on the spring election cycle. You know, Chris Taylor, former Democratic state lawmaker and current Dane County judge, has been running in this race for quite some time. And we're yet to, I guess, see now who's going to be the conservative justice. But we know that it will not be Rebecca Bradley, who snuck that news in right before Labor Day weekend.
Yeah, that's the news equivalent of nothing to see here, folks. Nothing to see. Please move on. Please move on. Rebecca Bradley, I'm going to give everybody my take on Rebecca Bradley. Since Trump won, and it only accelerated after Janet Protasiewicz's election, Rebecca Bradley has lost her ever-loving mind on the court. I have never read decisions like those penned under Justice Bradley's authorship in the last few years. I think she took Donald Trump's first administration, followed thereby the election of Janet Protasiewicz, which in Wisconsin was in part a reaction to not just Donald Trump's first administration, but of course the reversing of Roe v. Wade. She used that as effectively a, oh, well, now I get to be as explicitly partisan as I wish. It is her decisions, or opinions, I should say, are debased. And they show a real lack of self-awareness, a lack of judicial temperament. They are overtly political documents. She engages in pages of ad hominem or personal attacks directed towards her fellow judges, and I'll contrast, and every single one of her decisions has come down on purely ideological lines. I think all of this has been a lot of performative judging for an audience of one, potentially angling for a federal Article III judicial appointment from Donald Trump. I have bemoaned the more partisan bend of the Wisconsin Supreme Court over the last 10 to 12 years. I think Rebecca Bradley is the worst of it. I won't let the liberal-leaning judges off the hook either, Dan, because I think there's been some of that from the left side of the bench. I urge all of the jurists currently sitting on the court, including Justice Bradley and the time that remains in her tenure, to try to follow the law, leave the politics to the politicians, which should not include our judges. It does no one a service, least of which the people of the state of Wisconsin. I have really been appalled by her work over the last few years. It is not the work of a reasoned and temperamentally fit justice of our state Supreme Court. Now, if you can bear with me, Dan, I got a kind of funny story about Rebecca Bradley. You want to hear it?
Of course I do.
So one of my last departing acts as Milwaukee County's former corp counsel was I gave an address about allyship and advocacy in these very trying times. Rebecca Bradley was also at that county board meeting, sitting in ostensibly the front row, and I took the opportunity to address at the top of my remarks the overturn of Roe v. Wade. Needless to say, the justice was looking a wee bit uncomfortable in her seat because I pulled no punches and spared no vitriol for my thoughts on that Supreme Court decision. Dan, what do you make of the Republican judge who seems to have put her nose out front as potentially the GOP nominee? And granted, these are nonpartisan elections, but I'm dispensing with that entire artifice here. Maria Lazar. She has been incredibly hyperpartisan, but nobody knows who she is. What do you make of Judge Lazar?
Well, first, I really wish I could have been a fly on the wall when you were delivering that speech with Rebecca Bradley in the audience. That would have been quite the reaction to be able to witness there. But yeah, Maria Lazar delivered a statement or issued a statement on her social media the afternoon after Rebecca Bradley's statement. She is currently a judge on the Wisconsin Court of Appeals for the 2nd District, based out of Waukesha. She was a judge on the Waukesha County Circuit Court. Her career extends as so many Republican-leaning politicians across the state do, to the Walker administration, where she was defended aspects of the redistricting that they did, some parts of Act 10, a whole host of different things. And I'm sure you have some insights on her time on the bench, Maggie.
Yeah, I... The thing that I look for in every single judge, and especially judicial candidates here in the state of Wisconsin, because we elect them, which I think is not the best way to go about selecting judges, is to see whether or not they have found their way to following the law, even when it might not match with their personal political preferences or the ideologies that they more typically would align with. And when I have reviewed Judge Lazar's record, which I will continue to do, I have yet to find a single decision where you could not have perfectly forecasted what she was going to do as a judge, and certainly as a lawyer within the Wisconsin Department of Justice under Scott Walker. That is not what we need more of. And again, I think the more left-leaning justices on our current Supreme Court need to take a hard look in the mirror and find their way to depoliticize their approach to follow the law. But the last thing we need is yet another hyperpartisan from the far, far right who doesn't understand that in a republic democracy, in a democracy, a republic, a constitutional democracy, that the powers of the executive branch, whether we're talking about a governor's office or the Oval Office, those meet their limit when we reach our individual rights as enumerated in our state and federal constitutions. I think her record as an assistant attorney general in the Department of Justice here in the state of Wisconsin and her record on the bench shows us very plainly that she does not grasp that fundamental tenet of this constitutional democracy that makes me deeply afraid for reproductive freedoms and freedoms writ large in this state. The fundamental idea that the courts should be a check on the tyranny of the majority when that majority seeks to oppress or strip rights from minority groups like, I don't know, women and other folks. Dan, it is always a pleasure. Thanks, as ever, for your insights. We'll continue this discussion. And I think you, me, and Jack Ekblad, I've got another big picture conversation that we've got coming up soon. Thanks so much, Dan. When we come back, we've got Jeremy Janine of Urban Milwaukee. We talk about a federal grant that might actually be coming into the state to help us with our railroads. Stay tuned. We talk more on the other side. I'm Maggie Dawn, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.